Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we ask today that, again, you would bless the preaching of your word and that you would guide and direct me, Lord, by your Spirit. You know exactly what your people need to hear. And Lord, you know how you're going to feed your sheep today. So I pray today that you would be exalted in the preaching of your word. You would help us understand not only who you are, but what's going on in this world. And Lord, we pray that during this time, you would fill us with the joy as we understand really what Christmas is all about. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you get a chance, I want to encourage everybody to come to the Christmas Eve service this coming Tuesday, 6:30 at night, and Eric Maddy will be preaching, so I won't be preaching. So this is my opportunity to say to you, Merry Christmas! More lively than the first service. Way to go, guys. Way to go. Merry Christmas. You know, I was realizing as I was preparing this that it's kind of hard to be merry now, isn't it, in the world? It's just a tough time to be merry. You know, it used to be that you were kind of limited to just hearing the stuff that happened locally, right? You'd read the newspapers or you'd watch the TV news, and that was pretty much it. But then came this amazing thing called the internet. And now we can read about news all over the world, right? All over, wherever, and the farthest reaches of places. And the unfortunate thing is this. When you get on the internet and you look at the news, whether it is local, newspaper, or whatever, most of it is bad news. Most of it is bad news. You know, you read about, I read recently that there are millions of people struggling with the flu this year, and it's really a vicious flu, and they're talking about that. So you read about sicknesses all over. You remember a couple of years, avian flu and all these other things going on, and you freak out, and you're worried about all this stuff because it's happening over there in Africa or it's happening down here in South America, and you read all this bad news, and then you read about the crimes, right? So many killed this weekend in Chicago or this city or that city, and you know, you see that, and then you got all these reality TV shows that talk about, well, all the negative things that happen in people's lives. You know, we read these things, and I don't know about you, but I am. I am amazed at how evil people can be. You know, and so you got all this stuff pouring in on you. You know, you open your whatever, and you start reading, and it's very easy to read this stuff and get angry, you know, mad, because why is it like this? Why is this stuff happening? And then what happens is you get depressed. I mean, you add to the season, it's hard because the sun's going down, there's not much sunlight during the day, and then it's cold here, and so you get kind of down, and it's easy to go into despair, just kind of, you know, oh, all is vanity. It's very easy as we look at the news and the internet and all the things that are happening to not be merry. But yet, in our hearts, I think we desire to be merry. We want to be happy. We desire that. And so what we do is we try to look for some good news, don't we? Don't you find yourself doing that? I'll tell you what my family does when it comes to good news. What they like to do is they like to put on and watch puppy videos. Right? I mean, who doesn't like puppy videos? You have all this junk on the internet, and then you just go find a puppy video, and life is good. You're just watching these puppies playing, or kitten video, right? So we want to be merry, and yet it seems like everything we're hearing is this bad news all around the world, and it weighs on us, and it tears us down. And so we look for some kind of a good news story. And what happens then is we look for that. We don't find them many times. So what happens is that we see that the world naturally tries to take this bad news and turn it into good news. They try to change things. They try to do things that will take this negative stuff, this bad news, and turn it into good news. You know, if we just do this program, let's try a new program. Because if we have a different program, then we'll be able to deal with these issues. It'll take some of these negative things and turn them to positive. It might be something as simple as, we have a homeless problem, so we're going to give this section of the city, and that's going to be for the homeless. So that's how we're going to solve that problem. We're going to move it over there. Or what we'll do is we'll change a law. We'll say, the problem is crime and, people shooting themselves, so what we'll do is we'll make different laws for guns. And then that'll solve the problem, right? Because we just need to change the bad news to the good news, and we'll do it through a law. And another way that we do it maybe is through financial assistance. The problem is this, so if we just throw some more money at the problem, it'll solve itself. And many of these things are good things. I'm not saying they're wrong. But we try these things because we're trying to take this bad news, these negative things that are happening, and make them into good news, and we're trying different ways to do that. The world is trying to do that. But I would say this, that man's solutions like gun control or legalized pot, that's one now too, right? So if you don't want people, we just legalize it, and then it won't be a problem. So we'll legalize pot, maybe financial redistribution. Let's just make everybody the same. So what happens is that man's solutions, we're finding, have very little success. When you think about it. You keep reading it and you see, why, we're throwing all this money at this, or we're doing this, we're doing that. Nothing's changing, or very little change. And if there is change, it seems like it might be temporary, and you kind of anticipate everything to go back the way it was. And I think the reason is that man's solutions have very little success because they're focusing on the effect, not the cause. Man's solutions focus on the fruit, not the root. It's kind of like you got a tree that produces bad fruit. So your answer is, I'll just throw away this batch of fruit. And then next year, the tree has some more bad fruit. You go, that's terrible. What are we going to do? We're going to throw all that fruit away. And every year, it keeps coming back. And that's what the world is doing. They're trying to solve the problems by dealing with the effect, not the cause. So if we really want change, we've got to deal with the root problem. So what is the root problem in all this bad news? All of it. Bad news in your life, struggles in your life, things that happen in your life and in the world. What is the root cause for all this stuff? Well, the origin and the present roots of this bad news in your life and by extension in the world, because the world's problems are really birthed out of our own individual struggles, And so by extension, the world's negative or bad news is this. This is the root of it. It's the naturally degenerating results of sin. That's the problem in the world, sin. Whatever you read, it's sin. Think about it. You go back and you draw all the stuff. It could be something that maybe we don't classify as sin, just pride. That's not bad. But you start thinking about all this bad news, and it is birthed out of sin. It's birthed out of sin. And what happened is this, that God created this perfect, beautiful world. And then Adam came along and chose to rebel against God. And sin came into the world. And from that point, the world became broken. Andrew talked about this last week. And what happens then is sin is within the world, and sin naturally, it's just what it does. Sin corrupts and destroys everything and everyone, including you. We read in Scripture how all creation groans for the day when Jesus comes back. There's a sense that sin affects everything, corrupts everything. It's destroying everything. And what we're finding when it comes to people and sin is that the great prophet, Kylo Ren, said in the new movie, now all you Star Wars people, don't freak out. I'm not going to give you a spoiler, all right? Because some of you haven't seen it yet. And Lisa said, don't give them a spoiler or you'll have mutiny on your hands. And she said this, and I'll lead the mutiny. But the great Kylo Ren said in the most recent movie, referring in essence to evil, saying, he says, you know what? It is in our nature. It is. Sin is in our nature. We love sin. We default to that. And it started with Adam. And so what happens is this. Sin is corrupting everything and everyone. It's just its nature. And I'll say this, that because of sin, the situation people are in is far worse than the situation that this broken world is in. And we look at the headlines and we go, what a messed up world. Wow, is that screwed up. Look at all the destruction. Look at all this stuff. And we go, yeah, but we're in worse shape than they are. Than the world in general. Because the world's problems come from us. It starts here. And there's something even worse about this. Is the end result. That's why sin's effect in us is even worse than what it is in the world. What we find is that sin is rebelliously breaking God's law, which requires punishment. That's the way it works. You break a law, you get punished. God's laws we know of as the Ten Commandments, and it's a way they were actually to point us to the fact that this is the type, this is who God is. He's the opposite of these things. And then what happens is we find that it shows us we can't do it. We're going to sin. We're going to break God's laws. And then there's this natural sense that when you commit a crime and you break a law, there's a punishment. And that's true. That's true for God as well. And what we find is that when we break God's laws, God has determined that the penalty for that is eternal separation from Him. That's why we're in worse shape than the world. The world is someday going to be destroyed and all this creation and stuff and recreated. But you know what? When a person dies a sinner, they're eternally separated from God. That's why we're in worse shape than the world. Because there's no hope. We're separated from Him. And what happens is this. We do what we do in society in our own lives. We come up with a human solution to take care of the fruit, not the root. We say, I'm going to be a good person. I'm just going to do good because after all, you know, if I'm bad, then if I do good, then that'll solve the bad problem. It can't. It can't. It's not possible. We're not dealing with the right issue. What happens is that there's no human solution to sin's destructive power and eternal penalty because we can't undo a crime by good works. You can't undo the crime by good works. You can't undo the penalty from good works. There's still a penalty. And yet we try. We do that. We hop into a religion that we somehow think we can meet the requirements. And then we say, oh, okay, now I'm good. But we never deal with the issue. We never deal with us. The issue of sin in our lives. And what we find is that here is man, without a solution, an earthly solution or a human solution, to a root problem that is overwhelming us and overwhelming the world. And the evidence is the internet. Just read the headlines. Just read it. And what we find is we're looking for good news. And there is some. The good news is that God chose to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That's the good news. The good news is we're desperate and we're helpless and they have nothing we can do because of the sin issue. And then God. He chose to intervene. He provided a solution to our desperate, broken condition. He provided a Savior. He was going to deal with the root problem. And you know what's great about that? He began his earthly part of his plan on Christmas. That's why we celebrate it. It's Christmas. God was going to deal with the issue, the root issue of our lives and in the world. He was going to do it. And he started that earthly initiative on the time when we celebrate as Christmas. Christmas was that time. What a joy. Christmas celebrates the beginning of God's loving earthly initiative to end sin's destructive curse and bring us into a right relationship with Him and enable us to have a right relationship with each other. How much of the world's conflict is that? Huh? Problems between people, angry, unforgiveness, whatever it might be. And on Christmas, God started that initiative, his earthly initiative, in order to deal with this root problem of sin that would have an effect in our lives, would have an effect in our lives now and in eternity, and have an effect in the world around us. Christmas is when the Creator came into his creation. Wow, that's just amazing. The Creator came into his creation to provide a way to be forgiven and to be eternally with him. Christmas was the start of that. Take a look at God's word, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing. Again, we know this story. We've heard it so much. Just slow down and start thinking about this stuff. What a miracle. What a miracle. It was in our wildest imaginations, we could never figure out how God would come to the earth. How he would somehow be fully man and fully God. And God did that through the virgin birth, which wouldn't have crossed anybody's mind except the Creator. What an amazing God. What an amazing event that happened there in that moment. Somehow the Creator stepped into his creation. And it goes on, 21b, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The root problem. He's coming, and he's going to save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. And in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, putting on flesh. The word became flesh, as it says in John chapter 1. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus dealing with the root problem. Jesus dealing with it. Emmanuel, God with us, the invisible God made visible through this miracle called the virgin birth. Wow. Somehow, Jesus, it says in Scripture, Jesus is holding all things together, and somehow Jesus was holding all things together even then. What an amazing thing. What an amazing, wonderful miracle that we're celebrating today. God's earthly initiative. Jesus came and lived that perfect life without sin that is required to spend eternity with the Father. He's a holy God. He can't have sin in his presence. So we have to meet his requirements, and his requirements are perfection, and we can't do that. But Jesus did it for us. Lived the sinless life, met the requirements, and then he went to the cross, brutally punished, separated from the Father for the sin of all who would believe, because God is loving. God is loving, but God is also just because he's holy. And sin had to be punished. You know, it goes back to that crime thing. You commit a crime, you got to do the time. Somebody's got to pay the penalty. And that's what Jesus did for all who would believe in him. He didn't commit any crime. He deserved no penalty, yet he paid for those who would believe in him so that God could be just. And so he was brutally punished on the cross for our sin. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Victory was won at the cross. And when he died for our sins, he solved the foundational sin problem that is in the world, that is in us. He solved it. He provided a way that we might have freedom from sin's penalty and sin's power. Not just the penalty, but the power of sin, which affects the world. Which affects us. You know what? That's the gospel. That's what we call the gospel. Right there. And you know what the gospel literally means? Good news. Good news. That's what the gospel literally means. Good news. Take a look again at God's glorious word. Luke 2, 8 through 11. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Wow. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And this is Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus speaking, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What is the gospel? The good news. The good news. Good news in a world filled with bad news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The solution for the brokenness in this world, the mess that this world is not financial. It is not throwing more money at the problem. It is not financial. The solution to the brokenness of this world is not political. A different leader, a different form of government, a different this, a different that. It is not political. And the solution to the brokenness of this world is not some social program either. The solution to the brokenness of this world is the gospel. The solution is Jesus Christ. That's what the solution is. As you read all this stuff and you're overwhelmed by it, the answer, the solution is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. And it is only to the degree that individuals repent and receive the gospel can society and the world change. Because the problems in the world are people who sin. So the solution is individuals receiving the gift of salvation and then the living God transforming them, setting them free from the power of sin so they can live differently, they can respond differently. They walk not in fear of an eternal penalty because it was paid for by Jesus, so they walk with a freedom that they didn't have before. And then Jesus transforms us, deals with that root issue of the bad news in our lives. He dealt with it at the cross. And so now what happens is we see that Jesus is the only hope for us individually and for this world. He is the answer. Nothing else. Nothing else. Let me ask you, have you received the gift of salvation today? Take a look at God's word. 1 Peter, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." Why? that he might bring us to God. We were enemies. Jesus came. He was going to bring us in right relationship with the Father. That's why he came. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and then 10 through 9. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And then we go to John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only solution. And see, that's another way that men tries to solve the sin problem. Say, well, all religions are about the same. I was talking to someone literally this week, said they were a Christian, and they said, I don't think Christians should have the right to say that Jesus is the only way. Every religion is okay as long as people believe in it. Somebody who said they were a Christian. And I said, well, see, there's a problem here. Because Christians aren't the ones that are saying Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. All we're doing is repeating what Jesus said. So it's what Jesus said. And because he said it, it's true. Not because I said it. But you see, we try to get around, we try to solve our sin issue in man's way. And Jesus said, there's only one way, and it's me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I embody the truth of the gospel. So there is no other way. There is no other way. And finally, in John chapter 8, 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Sounds to me like kind of a merry thing to be free indeed, don't you think? Sounds like that would be a lot of joy in that. So we look at this and we realize that salvation is a gift. You ever think about that? It's Christmas time. We're all going to get gifts, right? What are some truths about a gift? Here's some truths. First of all, somebody that's giving you a gift, they paid for it, not you. And they paid for it completely, even if it's a gift that they made. They were the ones who put in the time, maybe purchased a couple of items, maybe not. But you see, a gift is something that somebody else paid for. And then what they do is they give it to you. So it is a gift given to you that you didn't earn. They're just giving it to you. You didn't have a hand in it. As a matter of fact, we're uncomfortable with that. So we usually, it's hard to receive a gift, isn't it, sometimes? It's just hard. And so what happens is we have this gift that God has given, that Jesus has paid for, just like every gift. And then he says, here it is, here's your gift. You're going to go to Christmas and somebody's going to give you a gift and they're going to say, this gift is for you, John, or this gift is for you, Mary, or this gift is for you. And you go, oh, thank you. And you just leave that gift there, you never open it? What? It's there for you. It's paid for by that person, ready for you to receive, but you have to take it. You have to receive it. And then it's yours, it becomes yours. What a joy. And can you imagine what would happen if you were the giver of that gift? And you give the gift, and they open it up, and they're all excited, and they go, this is the greatest gift ever. I need to pay you back for this. What would you feel like? What? It's a gift. No, I'm going to pay you back. I'll wash the dishes 3 times next week because this gift is so great. Or I'll give you some money. I mean, you don't have the money to buy this gift. I know this cost you a lot. I'm going to give you money for this gift. We would say that's crazy, but we do that with God so many times. He gives us the gift of salvation, and we try to pay him back for it. We kind of say, well, I got to earn it from God. I got to do the good works. You see, we think that our good works are something that come out of our paying God back instead of we love you. Wow, what a great gift. I just want to do this for the joy. You see, we try to earn it. We try to pay God back for the salvation. When it was paid in full, Jesus did it all. He's offering it to us. We need to just receive it with joy. And when we receive it, then we delight in it. We don't try to pay him back for it. That is an insult to the person who bought that gift, who provided that gift. Instead, just delight in it. That's the grace of God. That's the picture that we see here. Nothing more needs to be done. Jesus did it all. He paid for it all. We need to freely receive it. Something that we could never earn, no matter how much we worked for it, because it is that precious of a gift. And so we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that it is by grace alone. What does that mean? I always use this word picture because it's the easiest one for me to imagine. It's like you're outside shoveling snow, right? And you're out there shoveling, and all of a sudden this guy pulls up. He's in a really sweet Cadillac, right? He pulls up, and he rolls down his window, goes like this to you. Okay. So you walk up to the window, and he hands you $1 million in cash, and he drives away. I don't know who this guy is. What? You didn't earn it. You're not related to it. Nothing. It's like you just got it. That's grace. You didn't deserve it. It's out there. So it's by grace alone, through faith alone. What's faith? Faith is believing something you don't see. That's what Scripture says. I've never seen Jesus. I know he's real. I know 2,000 years ago, he walked this earth and he died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. That's faith. I believe in something I didn't see. And then we come back to the truth that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You see, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. And that's what it means to receive the gift of salvation. It's through that beautiful picture. It's a gift that God gave. And he says, receive it and delight in it. Delight in it. You can't earn it. The good news is that Jesus can rescue you, redeem you, and deliver you from sin, from death, and from evil. Have you received the gift of salvation today? You know, you repent. You acknowledge, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I've broken your laws, God, and according to your word, I deserve punishment. But I'm asking you to forgive me, God. Lord, what Jesus did on the cross, I ask that you apply it to my life. Forgive me. And Lord, be my Savior. And we repent. We desire to live in a way that pleases God. If you've never received the gift of salvation, I want to challenge you to do that today. Christmas was the start of God providing that free gift for you. So celebrate it by receiving it today. For those of us that know Jesus, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask you to examine yourself to see if you have what I call Holly Berry faith. You ever heard of Holly Berry faith? I didn't either, so I made it up. What's a holly berry, though? We know what holly berries are, right? They're all around at Christmas time. They're those plants that have the real funky, sharp leaves. They look like they'd be really uncomfortable, and they kind of, and then they always have those beautiful red little berries in them, holly berries, right? They look beautiful. But did you know this about holly berries? You can't eat the berries. You know why? Because they're poisonous. Looks beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, it's pretty deadly, pretty dangerous. Take a look at God's word. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. You know, it's like kind of we intellectually ascend to the truths of the gospel. We believe they're true. We say, yep, I believe all that stuff you just said when you shared the gospel, yep. And what happens is that we believe it intellectually. We might even live a religious life doing good deeds and things like that. As a matter of fact, somebody in here or within the sound of my voice might be what we call C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter Christians. I really want to challenge you that is your faith real? Because it doesn't affect your life. You're just going to church because you have to, because it's Christmas. And that's a dangerous thing. Looks good on the outside, but it's dangerous on the inside. Because your faith isn't real. It's just in your head. And Jesus wants more than your head. He wants your heart. That holly berry faith. You know, your priority is your version of the American dream, whatever that might be. This type of a job, this type of pay, this type of retirement, this type of house, this type of car, this type of activity, this type of whatever. And you pursue that so vigorously, and yet you don't have any time for God. There's no desire for God. You know, it's just, Examine your heart. Is it holly berry faith? I want you to know that Jesus wants your heart. He wants your desires. He wants to be the delight of your life. He wants to be the one you pursue stronger than anyone. When you're tired, you still find the time for him because he's that precious for you. Talking to a couple of parents, and one of them said, "Oh man, Dan, I'm kind of in a rough spot today because last night my little guy kept me up all night long." And I said, "Yeah, but you love him, so you did it, didn't you?" And he goes, "Yeah." It's kind of like that with Jesus. If we really love him, we really pursue him, we make the time, and we do it with joy. We do it with joy. So examine your heart, all of us, and say, "Lord, I want to delight in you. I want this Christmas season to spur something deeper in my relationship with you, more a greater gratitude, a greater understanding of the truth of Christmas and what you really did for me. I really want to meditate on the good news, the gospel." Because the reality is that all mankind needs the good news of the gospel. And if you're a believer today, you possess it. You possess what the world's looking for. Take a look at God's word again. Luke 2:20. "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Wow. The angels speak to them. They say, "Hey, the Savior is here. He's finally come. Go check him out. Come on, boys, let's go." So they go see, and there he is in the manger, Jesus, the Savior. And they're so excited. They run out, and they got to tell people. Can you imagine that? They couldn't keep quiet. They're going out, and they see Jesus, and they take off, and they go home, and they tell their friend, "I got to tell you what just happened. Okay, me and my boys are out in the field, right? And we're just chilling. We're talking about life, you know, and the sheep, and hey, you know, my sheep did this. And we're just chatting, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the sky lights up. And there's these angels in the sky. I'm not kidding you. And they said, "Stop worrying. Don't fear. The Savior's come. Go see him." And so we're thinking, "Hey, it's got to be, let's go check this out." So we went and we saw him. He's just a little baby, but you know what? He's the Savior we've been waiting for. I got to tell you about that. Got to tell you about the good news for all mankind. Good news for you. Andrew quoted me last week, so I'm going to quote him this week. Give it fair. Andrew said this last week. He said, "Christians are the rightful owners of joy and love and peace." We are. We are. Because the good news is here. The good news is here. And the world is looking for it. Is desperate for it. Just like you and I, when we open the internet and we look, we're so tired of reading that bad news over and over and over again. So we turn to the puppy videos. Right? Maybe we need to just shut off the internet. You ever think about that? Just shut it off. Turn it off. Don't look at it. Fast from it. Maybe open up the Bible instead. Find some good news. But the world is looking for what you have. So live it out. Live it out in this season. I get that this is a commercial, blah, 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 you know, and all the negatives we as Christians like to throw at the season. And I'm not saying they're not legitimate. But here's something that does happen that I've realized at Christmas time. People are willing to talk about God. This is the season where most people, not everyone, but a very large portion, believe that Jesus came. He was God incarnate. And so their hearts are open to discussing things that are spiritual, like very few other times in the world. And so for us, here's this world desperate. All they see is bad news, bad news, bad news in their own personal lives and in the world around them, and they're overwhelmed, and it's driving them to despair and depression and anger. And then here comes a Christian who knows the hope. He has the answer to the bad news, which is the good news. So live it out. Walk in joy this Christmas season. You possess that, even in the midst of your struggles, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. His grace is always sufficient. You're not judged by how you feel, but what Christ has done for you. So walk it this Christmas season and live out the good news that you know to be true, just like these shepherds. So live it out. And don't just live it out, talk about it. Talk about it, because you're going to meet with family and friends that are lost. They have no hope. They just see bad news. And they don't know what the good news is, but you do. So tell them. Proclaim it to them. Yeah, you know this mess in this world? You know what the problem is? It's sin. What are you talking about? You're crazy. No, really, think about it. You know these problems with these governments where we send all this aid over there and the aid never gets to the people? What's the problem there? Greed. Sin. Well, what about all these people over here? They're starving in this nation. What's about that? Well, it's not a food problem there. The problem is they're worshiping the wrong God. They're giving all their food to their cows because they think the cows are gods or reincarnated people. And so it's a religion problem. It's sin. They're not worshiping the real, true God. And so you have all this pain, all this struggle. It's sin. And so we can come in and we can not just live this joy that God has given us, but proclaim it to those who are lost in darkness, reading only bad news. Give them the good news through your life and through your words. Because this broken world is broken because of sin. And it's filled with bad news. And the answer to the world's problems and to the individual's problems, no matter who they are, you, I, or whatever, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news. He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other. And that is the reason for this season. And we can rejoice in that. So let's pray that we have opportunity to walk in joy this season. And to have an opportunity to maybe share the gospel with someone. So that they might hear the good news, maybe for very few times in their life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of this, of who you are. God, you did not have to come and provide a solution to our sin problem, but you did, and it was for your glory and our joy. So I pray now, Lord, that you would help, that you would overwhelm us with the truths of the gospel this Christmas season, the truths that Jesus, fully God and fully man, came to this earth. Lord, that he lived the life we could never hope to live. He did it for us, and then he took the punishment he did not deserve. God, would you help us understand it and overwhelm us with that truth? And as we think of this merry Christmas season, that you would lighten up our hearts. All the burdens of this world, Lord, the heaviness, all the stuff that we have, Lord, could you help us to cast our cares upon you, cast our worries upon you, Lord, that we might walk in the joy of our salvation in such a manner, God, that it would be a witness to all those around us. Do this miracle, God. Please, for your glory. And we pray this in the beautiful, in the glorious, in the powerful name of Jesus, our Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.